This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Woo! Hour number four. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war. It's John Ronson coming to you from the front lines of the info war. Woo! All right, I want to just fast pace, run through a bunch of news with you, and bring up other points John Ronson wants to get into. We'll get into Minister at Goats and your new book about trolls. But since you mentioned the trolls, let's get into that now. People can call it trolls being mean to somebody else. I think as long as you're being mean to somebody who's in power, who's corrupt, who's done something to you, or who you disagree with, you know, you're in public life, you should have a thick skin. I know also kids can be mean. Things that would go on in junior high before that wouldn't be magnified now are. I don't want to have legislation that curtails hurtful speech. People have libel laws for that because it's going to be used to shut down my speech. And the Democratic Party and the over in the EU, Merkel, you know, arresting people. They criticize open borders and floods of Muslim migrants. So I really see it being used. I haven't read your book. I've read your other books. What does your book get into and what's your view on that?
Well, OK, so my book is basically about the rise of shaming culture and outrage culture, particularly on Twitter. And I tell stories about people who were kind of. Well, I tell one of the stories in the book very, very quickly. It's a woman called Justine Sacker, who just before going to Cape Town was at Heathrow Airport, and she tweeted, "Going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white." And then she got on the plane, and while she was asleep on the plane, Twitter took control of her life and just tore it apart, even though her joke was she was trying to make a kind of South Park-type joke about, you know, mocking her own privilege, but, you know, while she was asleep and unable to defend herself, Twitter destroyed. And I wasn't, you know, I mean, everybody, Justine's destruction was a destruction that everybody could get behind. So she was destroyed by kind of misogynistic trolls, by hipsters, by social justice people. She was destroyed by everybody. And that's what really interested me.
I was about to say, I think the real battle for the average liberal, fake liberal program zombie is the hipsters joining the troll army against the oppressive trolling and political correctness. So a titan against a titan, a troll against a troll. So I really see this theme now where a lot of liberals are deprogramming because it's so much more fun to actually troll the fake liberals. But I saw what happened to her. Why is South Park anointed to be able to do all this, but other people aren't? And I think that goes back to political correctness in general, hoisted on your own petard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just, well, yes. I mean, one of the terrible things about Justine's, I always talk about Justine because it's one of the most kind of startling stories in my book. There's many, many stories in my book. And I spend time with these people. I wanted to kind of rehumanize them. You know, the purpose of a social media shaming is to kind of objectify and ruin somebody, define them by a fragment of their lives. And the thing about Justine's destruction was that she was asleep on a plane and she didn't even know she was being tried and convicted until after the conviction had happened and she was fired from her job and, you know, because everybody's scared when Twitter rises up on mass.
Now, I get it. She's on an airplane for 8 hours when she lands.
Yeah.
This is a 21st century issue where your 15 minutes of fame is your 15-minute funeral pyre.
Yeah, exactly. So she lands, turns on her phone, and there's a text from somebody that says, "You need to phone me right now. You are the worldwide number one trending topic on Twitter."
But see, let me give you a Jedi secret. The key to that is you own it, you jump and ride that tiger, and you love it, and you double down. If Tiger Woods would have doubled down, he'd be the number one playboy in the world. Right. Instead, he groveled and apologized and slithered around and everything and choked up. And
yeah. I agree. I think, you know, but Justine was like
I mean, his wife was a bad guy beating him with a golf club.
But I wanted to
write... I'm sorry to my wife, you beat me with a golf club.
I wanted to write about private individuals who were completely unprepared for something like this. So, you know, people like Justine and Lindsay Stone and the other people I write about, instead of doubling down and, you know, dealing with it in some sort of rational way like a public figure would, broke. I mean, these people became depressed and...
Exactly. So let's talk about that. How people are being trained to respond to this as victims instead of lavishing it.
Mm.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
And it's time for humanity to stand up in the info war and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight, you better believe you've got one.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Alex Jones and Donald Trump take over the internet.
Alex Jones really likes Donald Trump, and it is not a one-way relationship. In December, Trump sat down for a 30-minute interview with Jones.
I know now from top people that you actually are for real, and you understand you're in danger, and you understand what you're doing is epic. It's George Washington level.
I just want to finish by saying your reputation's amazing.
Your reputation's amazing.
I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope, and I think we'll be speaking a lot. A year into office, you'll be saying, wow, I remember that interview. He said he was going to do it, and he did a great job. You'll be very proud of our country.
Donald Trump, I hope you can help uncripple America. Thank you so much, sir. You will be attacked for coming on, and we know you know that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are we about to achieve a historical first in electing the first conspiracy freak president? I mean, is this the pivot we've been talking about? He's not pivoting for presidential. He's pivoting to Alex Jones. He's pivoting to crazy.
It's as if Alex Jones is now the head of the Republican Party, because every conspiracy theory are all coming together and they've created this narrative.
Right. I mean, this is astonishing. You know, I feel like you kind of have seen Alex Jones-ish ideas filtering into the Republican Party for a long time. You've kind of seen them, you know, edging up to him. But the idea that, yes, that he's a kind of authority figure for a major Republican politician talking about what he knows about the world, that's new.
It is surreal to talk about issues here on air and then word for word hear Trump say it 2 days later.
I think he said the other day that it's surreal to hear Donald Trump saying his words.
Validating.
And it's like, yeah, you're right, Alex. I agree with you for once. Completely surreal.
And it just shows how dialed in this guy is, and that's why they're so scared of him.
You got Alex Jones, who I've been watching a lot recently. He's like the main conspiracy theorist, sort of probably the most popular in American life right now.
The right-wing smear machine has gotten Alex Jonesified this election cycle. Jones is the conspiracy theorist and creator of the fringe website InfoWars. They are all in on this total conspiracy theory that literally came from InfoWars.
Completely bonkers conspiracy theorist.
You have Trump, who gets all his information from forwarded emails from cat ladies. I'm serious. He gets all of his information off the web. He doesn't do any research.
This is almost internet culture seeping out into the candidate. 100%.
Channeled through the candidate. I mean, that to me is the key part of
where Jones has embraced Donald Trump fully, heaping praise on Republican nominee and his team for their apparent acknowledgement of his movement. There's no way the Trump people would have reached out to me a year and a half ago if he wasn't aware of the work, Jones told the New Republic. He's been what you call a closet conspiracy theorist for 50 years. I think he's been a chameleon in the system, and now he sees the time to strike.
I've had some short behind-the-scenes conversations with Donald Trump that if the media knew about those, they'd really be freaking out and running around screaming.
These conspiracy theorists have the GOP nominees here like they've never had before.
Trump listens to what we say, and then I personally, you know, talk to him some off air, and he literally is either the biggest manipulator ever or he's for real. He literally listens to what I and others say. It's amazing.
But the Trump campaign is helping make sure that these conspiracy theorists get closer and closer to the Republican mainstream.
The fact that the Trump people gave us passes that, I mean, literally maybe 100 people had. It was in Newsweek, you name it, Jones, you know, the controversy had, like, you know, the super level passes, the ace of spades. Oh, my God, this is portends how evil Trump is. Absolutely it portends how horrible Trump is to you and your globalist agenda. And it shows how fast we can take this country back once people get it and once we have leadership.
If there used to be 6 degrees of separation for someone like Alex Jones to a general, like to a party's nominee, there's now one. I mean, there's no middleman, right? Like, it goes right from Alex Jones and it shows up in Donald Trump's mouth.
Donald Trump himself told me that he's seen so many of your supporters and listeners at his rallies. He loves the Hillary for Prison t-shirts and he knows exactly where they came from. So, Alex, I'm certain that he is briefly for your support.
Airport just behind us.
And yesterday.
A banner, and I believe it says
Hillary, it says Hillary for Prison 2016.
Right, that's not what Hillary can. No, I don't think so. Sorry, very good. We just saw.
Can you read it? There you go.
Good job, Chris Chula.
All right.
The camera operator, not the person who came up with the idea. He's not that clever.
Conspiracy theorists for Trump. Republican presumptive nominee's support for an elevation of the lunatic fringe in American life. The obsessive sort of singular focus of all these different apparatuses from Alex Jones to the Trump campaign and the sort of the Trump folks about spinning that conspiracy theory particularly.
Well, Alex Jones is just going to declare the entire election a false flag anyway, so
yeah.
he's covered no matter who wins.
And he's going to do very well in the Clinton presidency. Everyone's going to be
well. If Trump gets elected, he's going to be Secretary of Defense.
Well, that's they're true. He's got nothing but upside.
I've been told that if Trump gets elected, I get to be in charge of the chemtrail research. I'm really excited about that. And finding Bigfoot.
You can't dismiss him as just a crackpot because millions of Americans tune into him now on a daily basis and believe what he says.
And that's why Donald Trump came on this show, was to be radical, was to get in the face of the system. I'm up here defending Trump with everything I've got. It's because I know he's for real. He's putting his life on the line.
And this is a great opportunity for this country to put serious death blows to the New World Order. Donald Trump, I hope you can help uncripple America. Thank you so much, sir. You will be attacked for coming on, and we know you know that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alex Jones, he was a nice guy, actually. You like him? Oh, that's good. Alex was an Alex Jones, nice guy.
Oh, they can't stand it. Can you imagine the government agencies listening to my phone?
The gem on the elliptical, and I plugged in my earphones just in time to hear Donald Trump say, Alex Jones, nice guy. And I had such a shock, I nearly fell off my elliptical.
Well, since you're here, and I'm going to share this to you for your piece you're writing, I might as well just share it with everybody. Because Trump doesn't tell me to say a secret. We've talked to him on the phone and other things. But I just, you know what? I don't think it's best if I sit there and get into all that. It's very evident he's a patriot. It's evident he's talking about real issues. It's evident he listens to smart people. He admires people that have independently changed things and set up new systems that have been game changers. And I'm not bragging about myself. They say invention, well, they say necessity is the mother of invention. You've been there since pretty much I started. I was just trying to reach people about the globalist. We did innovate some media systems. We did do a lot of things first. But we had a lot of help from fellow patriots like Drudge, DrudgeReport.com, and others. But I remember, I don't pay attention to entertainment. I don't pay attention to hotels, golf, casinos, stuff like that. I don't pay attention to pop media or beauty pageants. So I knew Donald Trump was a successful real estate guy. I'm not really flashy, but I get he's advertising. So I was kind of put off by flash. I didn't dislike Trump, but he wasn't on my radar. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, people would say, famous people I'd run into, they'd go, you know about Donald Trump, right? And they're like, I'd be like, what? They go, well, you're the underground. He's going to be on the top. He's going to be coming out. They're running for president. He's with us. And I'd be sitting there talking to a famous person. The first one does that. And then by the sixth or seventh over a few years, this started like 5 years ago. And then right before he announced about a year and a half ago, I'm sitting there with a famous person who's in media. And they go, yeah, you know, I did a TV show with Donald Trump. Yeah, you know, he likes your show. And, you know, he's really concerned about things. And you like Donald Trump? And I'm like, casino guy? I don't know. Doesn't he hang out with the Clintons? He's like, no, he just does that for business. But let me tell you, Trump was already, he's so slick. This guy must have the energy of 50 people, like had tentacles out checking to see if I liked him or whatever before he even ran. And he went and spent a month in Scotland just thinking about if he wanted to do it. And the bottom line, I was told this by people that know him before it was in Politico. Politico did write an accurate article. I think it's like how he did it or why he did it. Because I'd been told that stuff years before it even happened. But a few months before he announced, maybe 6 months before, he spent a month not even really working, something he never does, just focusing on should I run for president. And he decided not to do it. That's not in Politico, but the rest of it is. He just said, I just can't. And he said, you know what? I believe people are actually smart, and they're going to get what I'm doing, and they're sick of the mainstream, and they want to be prosperous, and they globalism picks the winners and picks the losers. I believe people want to go against this, and I'm going to run as a populist and do all this and really try to change it, even though I'm going to put everything I've got on my line. It's a huge risk. His company, his name, he's lost hundreds of millions doing this, spent, you know, $80 million of his own money. And he decided to do it and is all in, is now bound to this. You know, talk the ring. Sauron's bound to the ring. Maybe someone's saying he's Sauron, but like a good Sauron, he's bound to the ring. He's all in. It's all real. It's all happening. It's all going on. And this is epic. This is historic. It's happening. And this guy is fully committed. That's why the power structure and foreign leaders and the Chinese president and the Pope and the Saudis, all these horrible bad actors who sit on top of really evil organizations are against him because they know. And he's done it. And they're creating this lie that he's behind in all the polls, adding 15% more Hillary Clinton, you know, people to him and stuff. I think even if he loses the election through fraud or reality, he has won by blowing giant holes in the media facade, and that it signifies the collapse of this current paradigm. I mean, Donald Trump killed the New World Order.
If he loses, do you know what he's going to do? Like, is he, for instance, going to start a TV network or something?
Well, yeah. See, this is what they do. They spin truth. He said 5 years ago, I might be, you know, do a network more libertarian and hardcore than Fox. It's kind of like Fox without the gay bashing. That's why he hates all the gays, because he was an advocate for them 30 years ago. See, everything's upside down. It's just none of it's true. It's all distortions. They're saying he flip-flopped on immigration. He always said, they make it too hard to come here legally. We need good people. We are going to kick the felons out, anybody else that's doing this illegally, or we're going to set it up where you don't get taken out. You go to the office, you get set up, you get checked, boom, you're in. Just like getting a driver's license. If you're not a criminal, if you play by the rules, if you go on a path to citizenship, he gets there making it illegal on purpose. He says all that. Let's get this network break. He says all that in, thank you. He says all that in these 2-hour speeches, but they cut it down to, we got a lot of criminals coming in from here. They're dumping on us. They're getting everything free. He's talking about the freeloaders that come in.
Hmm. I got a question. I was going to ask you this question like off, you know, after we.
Sure.
But I'll ask it now. So he said that Donald Trump doesn't mind you talking about, you know, any kind of, you know, what relationship you have with him. He's,
No, Donald Trump, I mean, I've said to Donald Trump before, hey, well, was this an off-the-record conversation? He's like, eh, whatever. But I'm just, the point is, anything I say gets spun and twisted, but I don't think he even cares. But the clear thing is, Trump was already aware that there's election fraud. He talked about it in 2012. He didn't get it from me. If I'm warning him about stuff and saying you ought to go public and he does a day later, it's because he already believes that. I was just there spurring him and giving support to it. And now the UN is coming to oversee our elections. The EU is. The Justice Department's putting 5 times the monitors out. The UN 10 times. That's Reuters. But he's a kook for saying it first. No, he's right. It's a distortion. Look at that's Reuters. See that, John? That's Reuters yesterday, a month after Trump went on this crusade about election fraud, agreeing with him.
Okay.
So there's... Obama said he's never heard of election fraud. What's that?
Hmm.
I mean, so.
Right.
I think it's that Trump is a brass knuckles, real Americana, real liberal. And that's why he likes what I talk about and what I say. And obviously has for a long time.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it doesn't matter. Who doesn't listen to InfoWars? And it's not a power trip. It's responsibility. I'm just a normal guy fighting these people. I just don't care what the establishment does to me. Most people live in fear. I'm not going to do it, John.
No. So did he... I'm sorry, I'm just asking the kind of questions I was going to ask you afterwards anyway. But I talked to somebody who's in a similar sort of position to you, that runs a big independent TV network like you do. And he said that Trump kind of reached out to him, sort of testing the waters, like... And he said to me just before... he had his tentacles out to see whether what you thought of him and so on. So did he kind of call you before he decided to stand?
No. And again, it isn't about even getting Trump interviews, which we can get. And we're probably going to do one this week or next week. The point is that that's just a symbol of Trump doing what Trump wants to do.
Mm.
Obviously, with other people in his campaign not liking it. But getting a Trump interview is not the big thing. Covering news... And everyone hearing me for 20 years talk about human-animal hybrids and that are already going on, and now they admit it, that's bigger than Trump coming on.
Mm.
See, as the Pope comes out and calls for world government, that's bigger than Trump coming on. This is our movement. InfoWars was that Trump rally. We are the populism. We're just the main... Say there's a NASCAR with a bunch of sponsors on it. We're on the hood. We're on the roof. We're on the tail. We're on the doors. There's a few other logos on there, but we are... The NASCAR.
Yeah.
I mean, you understand that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well,
but this has been my mission. And it's not about me and the detonator cap, like a detonator cap on a howitzer shell. We're InfoWars. This little officer in Austin is a detonator. And then all we do is detonate the larger charge. And we've already detonated it.
Mm.
It just takes time for it to incrementally go out and then devastate the globalist.
I think people don't realize. I was at the.
I could blow a big crater here. Just get rid. It wouldn't matter. It's already done.
Yeah.
Like V climbs up in the thing and is happy to die and just lays there and the train rolls on. You understand?
Mm. Yeah.
It's like when he sitting there talking to the police state chief and he goes, "We have you and I have a lot in common. I'm not afraid to die." And he goes, "The only thing we have in common is in 5 minutes we're both going to be dead."
Mm.
And I don't mean physically dead. I'm saying it's already detonated. The train already left the station.
Right.
The weapon system was already successful.
Mm.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just I was at the rally last night, and for people who don't realize, I mean, InfoWars was was everywhere. You weren't only there in terms of a kind of physical presence, filming us and handing out bumper stickers and so on, but you were there right embedded in the whole kind of atmosphere of the event, with people shouting out Hillary for prison and so on. And it really, I mean, it's amazing to me that Alex, who I knew 18, 20 years ago, is suddenly somebody who's inextricably linked with the Republican nomination.
But I'm nothing. I'm only one spark that helped start a larger brush fire. My listeners were the actual kindling. They did it.
Hmm.
And again, it's not about a power trip for InfoWars. It's much bigger than that. Listen, all the top generals that aren't traitors are listeners. The foreign world leaders, you name it, John. Trump had got world leaders telling him 5 years ago, do you listen to Alex Jones? Hmm. That's where all this comes from with Trump. Trump gets impressed by that, okay?
Hmm.
That's where this stuff comes from. It's like Trump and all this and America and all its staid weirdness and media control is like getting it last. I didn't do all this. I simply clearly saw historically what was happening, read the enemy's own plans, said it, and because almost no one else did it in a modern format, people wrote books and stuff that were incredibly accurate, smarter than me.
Right.
World leaders and serious men and women who were on the inside could resonate because they knew what I was saying was true because they're in there running it. And they feel all alone. They don't want to go along with this plan. You understand? That's the real secret, John, is that InfoWars is really nothing. And it's everything.
But how?
Because it's the people.
Right. But how can you be sure? I mean, you're anti-elitist. You've for 20 years, you've been anti-elitist. They seem pretty elitist to me, too, though.
Who?
Trump, Paul Manafort.
Well, no, I mean, Trump and all them knew that when you sell people to go to your hotel and golf course is to have, you know, gold windows. To them, that was just a marketing thing, as Trump always says, in this system I hate. It's true. He says, I make my ties in Mexico because they cost a third of the price, and you won't buy them when I make them in America. I've done that, too. I go make clothes in America, and I still do it. I go beyond Trump. A shirt made in America is like $10, and then I sell it for $20 or $22. I can do one in Mexico for $2 and sell it for, you know, $10, and everybody thinks they're getting a good deal, and they buy a bunch. So I say, here's the made in America. Here's the made in Mexico. They choose the made in Mexico. So I get what Trump's saying. It's like he goes, I want to do away with this system where it's a fairer trade deal so that you can have it made in America and still be successful. The guy is just really on. It's like real. As someone that runs my own company, does my own stuff, a father, I have more life experience now. I look at somebody like Trump is 70, and I admire him because now, only now can I see what he's doing and be able to pick up the sophistication and the stamina. I don't have the stamina at 42 of that guy. And I've got legendary stamina. That guy is a freaking war machine. I mean, he's awesome. Yeah. He's God sent. There's no doubt.
But you're sure he's not like the people at Bohemian Grove?
Oh, no, no. Look at them. No, absolutely not.
But
I wouldn't care if he'd gone there. I said, I mean, Clint Eastwood goes there. I love Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood's not part of that. It's just some ritual thing. And he's not, as I said earlier, I don't think they're all into it. I know they're not. I've had a lot of people reach out to me that go to Bohemian Grove. And they go, you know, I thought you were full of it in 2000, and then I kind of got deeper into some spinoff groups, got a little bit weird. But, you know, we're not all bad, but I get what you're saying. It's just a cult theater group. Hell, man, it's like going and joining a local motorcycle gang, and then you learn there's actually a meth deal going on, you know, inside of it. You know, you were just joining a motorcycle, you know, club. You didn't know it was a real gang, you know. So I don't just judge everybody. You know, it's like if I've got family in town and one of them is a Buddhist and they go, hey, go to my Buddhist temple with me. And I go and then people see me out in front and start taking pictures and they go, Alex is a Buddhist. Alex is a Buddhist, you know. Well, no, I mean, you're not a Luciferian just because you go to Bohemian Grove once.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not bashing Buddhists. It's just that, you know, it's an allegory.
Speaking of bikers, I met the head of bikers for Trump at the RNC and we had a strange conversation. Can I recount the conversation?
Sure, go ahead.
We've got the time.
Yeah, we go for 10 hours.
So I said to him, we were both queuing for drinks. He ordered his, I ordered mine.
Thank God.
He ordered a Coors Light, I ordered a sweet iced tea with vodka, which made me feel like much less American than he was.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah, it was good though. And I said, can I interview you? And he said, sure. And I said, so have the mainstream Republicans, like the old establishment Republicans, have they made you feel welcome? And he said, it's up to me to make them feel welcome. I'm more welcome than they are. And then he said to me, enjoy your visit. And I said, thank you. And then later when I got home and I listened to the tape, He didn't say, enjoy your visit. He said, enjoy your visit, because of my non-American accent. And I thought, wow, I annoyed him, and I don't really know what I... That's pretty much the entire...
Here's the thing. Bikers are good people on average. Mm-hmm. They're throwbacks of, like, primitive men. I don't mean primitive as in they're weak. All they get is tribalness. They're intellectual, but at the end of the day, they feel like they're under attack. And so they can only identify and trust what looks and acts just like them. And it's beyond racism, whether it's black people or bikers or military or whatever. It's just that rites of passage, they value it so much that it's taken their life over.
I'd wondered whether I'd accidentally kind of offended him by saying, have the establishment Republicans made you feel welcome? Maybe he took that as a slight.
And then he said, I'm making them feel welcome.
Yeah, it's up to me to make
them. Now, I think it was a sophisticated statement from him, I'm guessing, saying, no, we're taking them over, baby.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. And then he thinks you're a smart intellectual. He thinks you're smarter than him, so he wanted to backhand you a little.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No. Icon Geeks on site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks on site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks on site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
Who's among the worst at keeping your data private? The Electronic Frontier Foundation Privacy Report says it's AT&T. AT&T customers need to know this when calling the Alex Jones 24/7 Listen Line at 1-605-562-9000. Big Brother is listening. No apps, no data, no internet needed, and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call the Alex Jones 24/7 Listen Line on any phone, but please don't use AT&T. For everyone else, bookmark Alex Jones Listen Line number today, 1-605-562-9000. That's 1-605-562-9000.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
The poets tell how Bon Jovi fell and left his living in a cheap hotel. The death is quiet, Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told. Pancho need your prayers, it's true. Save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had to do. And now he's growing
I suppose. John Ronson's our guest. We didn't take any calls today, and I apologize for that. I'm told David Knight's going to be in the studio in a few minutes. I want to bounce some ideas off him. Appreciate him letting me take over the fourth hour. What happened is I used to do 4 hours, and I have all this other administrative stuff to do and reports to file that I stopped doing it, but our anchors and reporters every day do an hour, and a lot of days I do 15, 20 minutes or a special report, or sometimes I take it over. But it's great to have David Knight back after he was in vacation, and he and his great family that moved down here from the Carolinas. I want to play a few Trump clips, get into some other issues with John Ronson in the time we have here, talk about some Bohemian Grove, other waterfront issues. But the nightly news tonight is something you definitely want to watch. Also, Matt in there every day spends hours before I go on air getting all these incredible clips that I hardly ever play any of. And I've told him, make me play clips. We're going to play a few of those. But David, are you in the other studio? Do we have David in there? Or I guess I just said I'm totally taking over this hour.
I'm here, Alex.
Oh, he's there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to John Ronson. I know you're busy when by back there in your office, you know, watching videos and editing things. But just a crazy world. What do you make of the interview so far? You got any questions, comments, big stories? What do you want to throw into the whole crock pot here?
Well, it's very interesting, and I'd like to get John Ronson's thoughts on what we see with the Clinton Foundation. I think that's the number one story right now. And
I agree. I should have been hammering
that. Out there. Yeah.
Chelsea using gnome de plumes, fake name. Yeah. That brought down the former head of the EPA.
Well, what we're seeing now is the end game of this private server. She had a private server because we knew that she had this corrupt game that she's running in the background.
And so, 33,000 emails are all the little crooked deals for billions.
Exactly. You know, the New York Post starts out their article. They say the Democrat Party warns us about mixing big money in politics. They say it'll corrupt democracy. They nominated Hillary Clinton to prove it. Okay? They're always talking about campaign finance reform. So I want to ask John Ronson what he thinks about this, because this is the epitome.
David, you're absolutely right. I covered this the first hour, and it's so epic. History, it really is epic. That word's overused, but it's like saying, that's Nazi. Well, some of the stuff is Nazi. It's overused, but sometimes it really is used properly. This is so over the top incredible that all this corruption is coming out, worse than anything we've ever seen. George Soros running the Muslim Brotherhood, invading us in his Islamic takeover, admitting it's a Jerusalem Post having to admit, okay, he's basically a megalomaniac demon. The conspiracy theorists are right. Hillary, just billions, money, scams, total Al Capone garbage, and it's now out there. And our own media is hardly covering it. If it wasn't for Drudge and Breitbart and InfoWars and WorldNet Daily and Daily Caller, and I'm not tooting horns here, it's scary. If it wasn't for us, you'd hardly even see this stuff forced out. But if we hammer something for 2-3 weeks, then it forces the foreign press to pick it up and finally our press. So what about the Hillary situation with the foundation pay to play, now proven? And then secondarily, as a journalist, what about the media's coverage and handling of it, John Ronson?
I was hoping that you would forget that I was here and the two of you would carry on talking, because I've actually done no research at all on the Clinton Foundation.
Okay, I know you have actually. But
I really haven't. I really,
smart
I,
guy.
I,
because, well, what was your question before the break then? And I'll go back to David Knight.
Okay. I can't even remember.
You do this. This is teleprompter free.
No, we were talking about the backers for Trump, and I was trying to kind of dissect what that hostile conversation was, and I agree with you, but...
I think he was explaining, hey, baby, we're taking this thing over.
We're taking this thing over, and you come from a world where you think the establishment gets to decide whether blue-collar people get to feel comfortable or not, and I'm here to tell you that the world has changed. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, he's saying, hey, we're making them comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I thought that was very interesting. And it shows this kind of, you know, huge...
I think the guy was really smart. He's saying, we don't give a damn about what you think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was really smart. It was smart and interesting and layered and nuanced.
And is it that people that tune into Trump, it's not that he's perfect. You're saying, this is an, I'm sorry to use the French, F-U card. It's like, we're done. Yeah, we know you don't want it. Here it is.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of misperceived me as a member of the kind of liberal establishment who was kind of gently, you know.
You're an independent liberal.
Yeah, I really am. I don't consider myself an advocate for the left whatsoever. And one thing I've become very interested in.
Well, you told me on the phone they've become very bullying, and you see that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, my public shaming book is all about how my people bully. And
well, real liberals are supposed to be about against bullying.
And it's impossible.
And you got a lot of heat for that book I read.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of heat for it. We love to talk about abuses of power unless we're the ones abusing our power, and then we hate to talk about it. So that's really what that book was about. And I'm certain that it's, and other people have said this too, but obviously, but, you know, if you want to understand the rise of Trump, and if you want to understand Brexit, one thing you really have to understand is the way that my media, the establishment media, is so selective when it comes to writing about injustice. And we won't write about the injustices that are meted against people who are turning to Trump.
Well, let me throw this out about Trump. Mm-hmm. He does like, one criticism I have of him, and I know David has as well, is he likes to just be completely honest. That's a positive thing. But not the fact that he thinks torture is okay if you're a bad ISIS guy. Well, how do we know you're ISIS? That really leads on a dangerous road. Now, torture's ongoing. At least he's honest. So in a way, that's refreshing. But it has a bittersweet taste, obviously. But what if we get in and the communists are burning stuff and people are attacking? Then there's this arrogance of, hey, we're doing the right. Let's crush these people. We have to keep due process. We can't have bullying. We can't have this thing that we're on a crusade or a jihad and start going after bizarre elements of the left. We have to take the real high road. And Trump, if any of his supporters or false flaggers do bad things, he's got to decry it immediately. He's got to be really conciliatory if he gets into office. David Knight, what do you think?
I think so, Alex. You know, you're talking about the blue collar saying that we've taken over the party, and John was just saying that he sees this bullying going on from the left. I see it also going on from the right, Alex. Remember the editorial in National Review that was talking about blue-collar America, where all the jobs had left, and they said, your community isn't worth saving. That's the kind of
contempt. I should do more on that. You're absolutely right. You covered that. I covered it barely. You hammered it for weeks, and your instincts are so on target, David. But you got to come every day and tell me, just as my boss, for that one piece a day. I'm your boss. No, I'm serious. I think I'm going to create this new thing where everybody's somebody's boss for one project a day or a week or whatever, some quick video. I'm serious. You're my boss once a day, David. You were to come to me with a story that I'm to cover on air or do a five-minute special piece on, because I remember watching you talk about that and say, I should be doing this more. They actually said it a bunch of pieces, you don't matter. It was worse than Obama saying, you bitter clinger Christians, turn in your Bibles. It was the it was like George Will. I did harp on that because I saw you talk about it, because he always, George Will goes, we are the sovereigns of the party. Your votes don't matter. He actually said that. And I did say to George Will, look, I'm not a violent person, but if you think you're so elitist, stick a gun in your head and blow your freaking head off, man. You are a scumbag saying my vote doesn't matter, and you put it in a newspaper, the Washington Post.
Yes.
I mean, I would not wipe my butt with that. And I'm sorry to talk like that, but these people show us how disconnected they are. And see, now you got me frothing at the mouth of the establishment right wing. These are the most conceited, arrogant, know-it-all fops. If they were smart, they wouldn't make statements like that. What the hell? I'm sorry. You just triggered me. David, you're absolutely right. I remember reading it in the news, in the magazine, saying, you don't count. You're bankrupt. You're scum, white people.
Yeah.
And it's like this thing of like invoking race. They show how they're really the elite getting the commoners to fight with each other, and how they all just hate us no matter what color we are. And I'm sick of it. I am a populist. I'm a grassroots, blue-collar guy at the end of the day. And I'm sick of all these people telling me I don't matter, when I guarantee you George Will is an addled retard. I'm sorry.
You and John were at Bohemian Grove. You saw that it wasn't Democrat elitist. It was Democrat and Republican elitist.
Oh, yes.
But it's the entire establishment. And it's that establishment. It's the hedge fund people. It's the Wall Street banks.
And they get along with the progressive left
that are coming after Donald Trump.
They can hardly hold a conversation.
Yeah. That's right.
They're all a bunch of neurotic OCD jackasses. And I'm not saying you're bad if you have OCD. We all do to a certain extent. I'm sorry, go ahead, John, I'm ranting.
Oh, yeah. No, Bohemian Grove, I'd say it's actually more Republican than Democrats. Bilderberg is
70% Republican.
Yeah.
And that's what we see. We see the establishment, though, across the board, whether it's the media or the government or it's business or it's the progressives, all coming after Donald Trump. That should tell us something. There's an article on New American, Trump versus the establishment. This hasn't been a clear alignment like this since we saw Barry Goldwater.
Well, look, I mean, I am no fan of Trump in any way. I can't
worship him. I'm being sarcastic. Go ahead.
I'm no fan of Trump, but at the same time, I'm certainly no fan of Trump. And And he does say divisive. I mean, he said some incredibly divisive.
He had to say those to unify nationality because we didn't even have that anymore.
Right. But I'm also no fan of the fact that, you know, something happens to me at the RNC. I need to be balanced because, you know, I am absolutely no fan of Trump, and I hope he doesn't win.
Are you jealous of his hair?
However, when I was at the RNC one day...
I'm going to have a meme made of you with Trump hair.
Well, I'll tell you a very quick story about something that happened at the RNC. So somebody said to me, oh my God, did you see the avocado woman? And I was like, no, because she was on really late at night. And I'd gone back to bed by then.
The what woman?
The avocado woman.
The avocado.
Yeah, so I don't know what they were talking about. So then later, and she would go, oh, it was hilarious.
By the way, I'm not making fun of you. I like how you say avocado.
Avocado, I know. God, I'm sounding like...
Say avocado face wash. Available now for a limited time. InfoWarsLife.com. John Ronson's the designer, and a bit of his essence is put into each bottle of avocado luxury line creamery.
For a second, I became my grotesque...
Can you say cream what?
I became your grotesque impersonation of me.
You say cream what?
I'm not going to try it.
Go ahead.
Say what? Cream what?
Say Lord Creamlock.
Lord Creamlock.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so... the avocado woman. People go, it was hilarious. You must see the avocado woman on YouTube. It was hilarious.
What did she do?
Well, I thought, God, this is going to be hilarious. So I went on to YouTube. Her name's Kimberlyn Brown. She's an actor. She was in like The Young and the Beautiful or The Old and the Restless or whatever the shows are called, The Young and the Restless. And now she's an avocado farmer. So I was waiting for the hilarity to turn up. There was no hilarity. There was some... Basically, she was giving a talk about how, because of trade deals, which I know nothing about, I don't understand, but because of trade deals, a lot of her avocado farming neighbors have had to destroy their crops, and she was almost in tears on the stage.
And people thought it was funny she was crying about avocados when this is her life. Oh, I get it.
Exactly.
No, it's the cold. Well, let's explain the trade deals.
Yeah.
Okay, if Chinese electricity is like four times or three times, depending where you're at, cheaper than ours because of our regulations, where are our factories going, John?
Yeah.
So if our government is even trying to get rid of what coal we have left, it's, by the way, totally clean now with the scrubbers. Yeah. China's totally dirty. We're gone. You understand? No one's going to have any jobs here in industry. And the average poor person goes, well, I don't own coal. I don't care. I don't own any coal stocks. Quite frankly, my family has gas,
right?
So we should be against oil and coal. But I don't think like that. I know people in my family, nice folks, but they've said, well, I got 20 gas wells. What are you so worried about shutting down coal? I'm going to make more money. But it's going to screw all your neighbors having expensive electricity, dumbass, and we're not going to have a damn country. People don't think like this. We cannot compete with China if their power is four times cheaper, David Knight.
Yeah, Alex, and Donald Trump understands it's also currency manipulation that's involved there. They're not trying to reestablish protectionism. What they're trying to do is keep our economy from being managed by a small clique of global elitists
who wrote these
so-called trade partnerships in secret and wouldn't even allow our democratically elected representatives to read it to talk about it. That's the issue.
And then it's okay because Obama goes on Jimmy Kimmel and goes, you down with TPP? And Obama goes, you know me.
Well, listen, anyway, my point about telling the avocado lady story...
It's horrible.
...is that we're not going to... You know, this world is not going to get any better until we no longer... You know, the people on the left no longer find struggling people on the right hilarious or just...
That is sick.
And vice versa, too. It's
No, I get it. And I've never been somebody that makes fun of people as much as I have lately. But I got to say, the social justice warriors, because they're bullies... I catch myself then becoming a bully when I'm fighting a bully, and then I catch myself enjoying it a little too much. Yeah. It's one of the few things I have guilt.
Yeah.
So I've never been a bully, but I do catch myself becoming guilty now when I crush someone. I feel like O'Brien in 1984, I'm trampling someone getting off on it. It's a very dangerous nerve.
Very dangerous, and of course it's, you know, it's tempting, but, you know, but we're going to hell in a handbasket.
It is enjoyable, though.
But it's serious.
But doesn't Carl the Cuck, he deserves it.
You know what, I think this cycle of shame where, you know, what do you do with a shamer? You shame them and everybody shames each other and then people kill themselves. I mean, yeah, people kill themselves over this stuff. And you get Brexit and you get the rise of Trump. You know, you get an increasingly polarized, divisive world. And I think things aren't going to get better until... we start talking to each other. And
I'm going to say this then. I am ready to start dating Trigglypuff.
The Trigglypuff thing, see, that's another one. I, 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 I thought it was horrible. It's like, look, I've been attacked by social justice people because of my public shaming book, but I think it's appalling to then go and attack them.
But Mike, I got to be honest though, Trigglypuff looks like a 300-pound baby, and even has like a bottle. And is then, I mean, this is entertaining.
I don't think it's entertaining. I think...
I'm not trying to be mean, but she's there trying to shut everybody else's speech down. At a certain point, if there's a big, powerful, beautiful oppressor, then it's okay to take them down. But if it's a goblin creature, why? I mean, you know, I get it. My chivalry does look, go, there is a jellyfish. Let's try to heal it. I reach down to help it. It bites me. At a certain point, I just go, fine, school the jellyfish. But if I stare too long into the jellyfish, do I become the jellyfish in a niche type way?
You become the jellyfish. This is my point. I have felt the wrath of people like that unfairly because I defended people like Justin.
No, you said, hey, you shouldn't be abusing people, and they frothed at you.
But, you know, don't, as my new friend Monica Lewinsky says, don't shame the shamers.
I forgot about it. We talked about that in your final segment. Your book's bestseller out this year. Talking to Monica Lewinsky, dealing with that. I remember Drudge had a link to your article. I didn't read the book. I read your other two or three books. What is this piece you're doing with me today? I never asked.
You know, I don't know. I became, you know, as I said before, I was at the gym and I suddenly heard Donald Trump praising you. And I thought, that's a topsy-turvy world.
What I like is a lot of what you do turns into big movies and stuff. So
yeah,
here's the deal. All the rest of the media, I won't talk to you. I'm not arrogant. You're just a waste of time. John Ronson is super powerful, so I'm talking to him.
Right. So I just want
to... Skip the network break. Here we
go. So literally, I never know what a story is while I'm in the middle of it, but I just wanted to investigate. It's like, you know...
So is there even a story here?
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to write something, definitely. But I thought, you know, my...
What have you done? I'm going to go bankrupt.
I hope you don't mind.
I've got to have the story, John. This is my big break, John.
I thought my Alex is now a step away from the White House.
Well, I don't have the article you wrote. It was in a bunch of newspapers. What was the title I was in? It was like...
Well, this is just like when I was in Cleveland, when I was at the RNC, in return for them getting me like accreditation, I promised to write them a few hundred words. So I just wrote a few hundred words about how I was there.
So in the Cleveland paper?
Yeah, and just in the local paper.
That was crazy. I'm in a restaurant about to leave that morning, and I go, oh, there's John Ronson like, and on like the cover. So you had a link to the deeper.
Oh, really? I didn't realize it.
Well, it had a link. It was a part in the front. Yeah, I went to
okay.
The...
Yeah, so they just wanted me to write something, so I just wrote about just how strange it was for me to be in the arena, the Quicken Loan Arena at the RNC, and somebody is on stage at the RNC quoting you. And I just thought, that's extraordinary. And because I am your Simon Cowell,
But you did say, oh my God, what have I helped create? I feel so guilty. What was the exact quote at the end?
I don't know what I said, but if
I want the headlines, I can pull the article up.
If I did say something like that, it was...
Well, I saw it in the paper, and it was different, like, author John Ronson this. When I Googled it, it was a different headline at all online.
That's because the Onion, the AV Club, wrote about the thing that I wrote in the Cleveland paper. So
I saw a different one. I just want to pull up so I can actually show it to you. Yeah, okay, here it is. 2016 RNC, or the week conspiracy theorist Alex Jones went mainstream on the floor of the convention hall. I didn't go mainstream. Reality, a wave of it splashed into the RNC.
Right.
Here, let's scroll down to the bottom right here. And there's this part about, I want to get the exact quote here.
I hope I didn't say anything too mean.
No, it's like...
That's the Roger Stone.
That's not the article I'm talking about. There was one similar to that. There's different versions. It's where you say...
That you were the monster that I created.
Yeah, like, oh my God, I feel guilty. I've created this monster. Where is it? Let's scroll up then. Maybe it's not...
I didn't call you the monster that I
created. By the way, I asked Roger Stone yesterday about that quote where you go, yeah, that young man, you know, hates you or whatever, and he's a Republican, and he goes... Get me his name for an IRS audit. You know that was a joke, right?
Yeah. He said, just kidding.
Here. Let's scroll. Well, you didn't put just kidding in the article, Ronson. A little sneaky,
no, I said
liberal.
Didn't I say he smiled? Can you go down?
I'm going to go down because I smiled.
I believe you. Yeah.
He goes, "This." I just asked him about it. He said, of course it's a joke. He goes, I don't have time to be doing that. He's not lucky enough to be audited. This week, and I could never have predicted this, Alex's extreme conspiratorial rhetoric is serious. Oh, like Hillary should go to prison? Is influencing the RNC. Donald Trump publicly declared himself a fan back in December, appearing on the show and telling him your reputation is amazing. I will not let you down. This extraordinary lurch into zealotry has galvanized swaths of the Republican here.
Well,
whilst disturbing many others. On Tuesday, I got... talking to a young never-Trump supporter a delegates, and it goes on from there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does sound like you're really alarmed.
Good Lord, Alex Jones is having influence. Oh, help me. It did come as a
surprise. I'm telling you, the Jedi are taking over.
Maybe zealotry wasn't.
Oh, it says, lightest. I didn't want to go alone for two reasons. I was scared.
Yeah, of course I was scared going into Bohemian Grove. My God, I'm not a fearless person.
No, we're having fun. You know you're a...
Yeah.
You know, I was in a famous world leader's house, not Donald Trump, and I was just sitting there, and it was a few years ago, and right there, in like a little shrine with lights on the bookshelf in their office were three of your books.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. I know you've got a couple number ones in the New York Times, right?
Well, top 10. Didn't get all the way to number one.
You're not Jerome Corsi yet. You know, Jerome Corsi's been calling me like five times the last 2 days. I haven't even called him back. And it's not that I'm even bragging.
Yeah.
I haven't called him back. I'm so busy. It's like it becomes this haze. How do you deal with it? The hundreds of phone calls a day, thousands of emails. I'm just completely...
You know what? I tend to just block it out and just write. Also, my information isn't on the internet, so most people can't get hold of it.
Oh, speaking of that, you write for big publications and stuff. You have best-selling books. You make movies. But where do people follow you on the internet?
My website is johnronson.com. There is no H in John, J-O-N-R-O-N-S-O-N. And then on Twitter...
The ancient spelling. The ancient, archaic, and true. The bottom five. From the ancient oceans, far beyond the Mystian seas.
That's
I'm the leader.
A Moloch. And on Twitter, I'm at John Ronson, J-O-N-R-O-N-S-O-N.
At DarthVader.com. Hey, let's bring in David Knight. David, other points, my friend.
Well, you know, Alex, as we're talking about how the establishment is aligned against Trump, I think it's interesting that even the media outlets that have been shamelessly advocating for her just dropped the pretense of objectivity like the Washington Post. They and USA Today are calling on her to shut down the Clinton Foundation and do it now.
That's right. Don't you sense blood in the water, beyond blood in the water?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not just saying this with glee. It's not some personal hatred for Hillary. These people, I just sense that it's over. I mean, even if she coasts into office, have they not delivered a rotting political carcass into Valhalla?
Well, you know, what it shows us is that as the left has constantly talked about the need for campaign finance reform, about how money corrupts politics, and I understand that, that's true. The problem is the power, though. Once you've got the power in Washington, it's going to suck the money in like a black hole. And once you've got somebody like Hillary Clinton, she has the kind of true privilege. So when I talk about white privilege, she has the ultimate privilege, okay?
Elitist above the law, diplomatic immunity, Marie Antoinette. And if she's allowed to stand and get away with this, it sets a precedent that, mark my words, like a black hole, you just said, will destroy this country and other nations very soon. Hillary Clinton must fall. And Ronson, I sense it. You're hedging your bets. You smell it, the rotting flesh of the Democrats in the wind. Join me. Take my hand. I will complete your training.
But it doesn't make me a Trump supporter.
Good. All right, Knight. Great job. Go ahead, Knight. Sorry.
Well, Alex, it's going to be, she is a poster child for what is, we want to talk about her health. I mean, she is the cancer on our country, our body politic, okay? And she is an example about the fact that you cannot achieve honesty here with some kind of campaign finance reform laws. She's going to break the laws. There's no law that is going to tie her down. The laws are there for the little people, and the big guys are just going to break these little spider webs that they erect in the corners to try to stop the rest of us from having free speech.
Spider webs they erect in the corners. What is that? Can you feel the energy? I feel liberty rising.
Honest answer?
You think it's more like a fart rising?
My honest answer is I don't. I feel in the middle of July, all of that was happening. You know, Brexit had just happened, and Trump was really rising, and the polls were narrowing, and the RNC and so on. And then I think he's made some big mistakes since.
I agree, but past Trump, the overall bubbling of liberty, awakening, forget liberal conservative, it's just...
Yeah,
the zeitgeist.
Yeah, I see that. I think the fact that InfoWars, for instance, is such a big operation now.
It's just one example.
Yeah, it's just one
example. All right, well, all I can say is John Ronson, thank you so much for spending time with us. David Knight, great job. Nightly News tonight is going to be jam-packed, 7 o'clock Central, PrisonPlanet.tv. Great job to the crew. History's happening now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.